Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, but also to welcome to the show four exciting, talented, dynamic players of this game. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes, and seated on my left, Graham Norton and Sheila Hancock. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me keep the score. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And Sheila, we'd like you to begin the show with, oh, a lovely subject, Shakespeare's Globe. As a Shakespearean actress, I'm sure you know a lot about it, but tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Shakespeare's Globe was built, I think, round about 1599, certainly.
Oh. Graham Charles.
Nothing.
You thought I said nine twice.
I did. I was, yes.
He thought I said 99.
He was sitting next to you and he didn't hear right. So, Sheila, an incorrect challenge.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
Yes.
I'm not just stupid.
Oh, it's lovely to hear from you, Graham. Because it's,
and you, Nicholas.
Lovely having you on the show, isn't it? Right.
No, it's nice to be here. Thanks.
54 seconds, Sheila, for you to continue on Shakespeare's Globe, starting now.
Up until then, actors had been forced to perform in inns, courtyards, even in a circle of wagons with which they carried their scenery. So it must have been a great relief to have this beautiful, round auditorium, albeit...
Tony Challenge.
Was there a repetition of round in
there? There was. You talked about the round, yes.
Mm. A round.
I thought it was a circle of wagons.
Ah, it was a round.
It's all going horribly wrong for me.
Oh, yes.
I feel it slipping
away.
If
you get that, I get my 99.
So, Sheila, an incorrect challenge. 37 seconds. Tell us more about Shakespeare's Globe, starting now.
Can this cockpit hold the vasty fields of France? Or may we cram within this wooden O the thing that did affright the people at Asmau? Oh,
God. Paul.
A slight hesitation by William Shakespeare. Clearly couldn't remember what he was going to write next. Yes.
No.
Dragging your quotations...
I couldn't think of that jingle.
Yes.
Oh, really?
It sounded beautiful.
14:15. And,
Quarter past two. No, he was involved. He went over to complain about the noise, isn't that right? Camping nearby went to complain about the noise.
I know, and on the field of Agincourt, right, and... 2:15. Right, Paul, a correct challenge. 24 seconds starting now.
It's been rebuilt, and every year I'm part of the Comedy Store Players. We do a show at Shakespeare's Globe, and it's quite an interesting theatre to play because the audience in front of you aren't seated, they're standing up. It feels like you're standing on a scaffold.
Yes, Tony.
Repetition of standing.
They're standing, yes. So, Tony, correct challenge. And there are 12 seconds still available. You tell us something about Shakespeare's Globe starting now.
Sheila won't like me for saying this, but I think Shakespeare's tough enough to endure without standing in the rain. I want a nice seat somewhere, headphones on, listening to music. That...
Paul Challenge.
Well, headphones on, listening to music. We're moving away from Shakespeare's Globe.
That's right, we have. But you don't have headphones on when you sit in the theatre.
No, no, I'm saying I do, because I find it dull.
Can't argue with that.
But it's so bizarre that...
Why is it bizarre? Do you think everyone likes Shakespeare?
No,
well,
I can't think of anybody...
if they go to see the plays, presumably.
Yes. I can't think of anybody sitting at Shakespeare's Globe with headphones on.
Do you go along and sit there in the head? How much does it cost you a ticket to sit there with the headphones on?
He might be on a date. He's trying to impress someone.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you very much.
What, by blocking out all external sound? Impress the person you're taking on a date?
No, but my point is, I do think Shakespeare goes on and on and on.
That's got nothing to...
That's
got nothing to do with Shakespeare's Globe. We're talking about the Globe, not Shakespeare. So it's Shakespeare. I think I give the benefit of the doubt to Paul on this one. If I can redress the balance later, I will do so. And, Paul,
I'll
you
talk
have...
to you after the show about Shakespeare.
Paul. I thought you were bored before.
You've only got half a second to go.
Oh,
Shakespeare's Globe, starting now.
When it rains...
So Paul then speaking to the whistle and gain that extra point and has moved forward in the lead. And Tony Hawkes, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, Red Sky at Night. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
This is a lovely phrase from Liverpool, I believe. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, Warrington's on fire. I heard this many years ago when I was in the area, because outside of that particular district, I wouldn't have been able to hear it unless they were shouting very loud indeed. A detail I needn't have gone into, but killed a splendid 7 seconds.
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
No, I don't think it was quite a hesitation.
Oh, really?
I will give him the benefit of doubt on this, and that redresses the balance. So, you still have the subject, Tony, with another point. 34 seconds, red sky at night, starting now.
Maybe I'll have a go at some political satire here. Red sky TV at night, News International is bleeding. Now, that's very controversial at the time of this recording, but when it goes out, it probably will have dropped from the news and no one will be interested.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of news.
Yes, you mentioned the news before. So, Paul, you've got a correct challenge. You've got the subject. There are 16 seconds. Red sky at night, starting now.
It's one of these sayings that's passed down through the centuries. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in morning, then is a warning. But, you know, I often think that these archaic words often have a word...
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of often.
Yes, yeah, well, two yes. oftens yeah. then.
Was there really?
Yes, it was.
Yes, he repeated them quite close together as well. And Graham, you've gone in with 3 seconds to go on Red Sky at Night, starting now.
Red Sky at Night used to mean when I was a student.
So, Graham Norton was speaking then as a whistle when gained that extra point. And Graham, we'd like you to begin the next round. Strange subject here. I hope you know something about it. The meat raffle. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I think the United Kingdom has really let itself down. When I was growing up in Ireland, we heard about these meat raffles. Not since the great excesses towards the end of the Roman Empire has such indulgence being used towards meat products. In Ireland, the main prize...
Tony, yeah. Tony?
Yes, a repetition of Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
What was there? I don't know.
Right, 39 seconds, Tony. The meat raffle starting now.
I do hope I make a mistake and then Graham wins the subject much because I don't know anything about the meat raffle. It's clearly something from Ireland which didn't come to the U...
Graham Challenge.
Deviation. It's not from Ireland. We don't have meat raffles. No, we looked on in awe, saw you giving away meat. We were shocked by it.
Well, in that case, I owe you 2 apologies.
Yes.
One for interrupting and one for being descended from the people that treated you so abysmally.
They might have meat raffles in Ireland, but didn't begin in Ireland. I think it was more likely to begin over here. So, Graham, a correct challenge.
Oh, really?
You have 30 seconds on the meat raffle starting now.
A bag of Care Pinks would be an adequate prize growing up in... Oh, I've said growing up in Wellington.
Sheila Challenge.
He said growing up already.
Yeah. And is it. Right, Sheila, you have now the meat raffle and 24 seconds starting now.
Who'll give me £1 for a couple of chops? 5 shillings for a chicken? £1 for... I have no idea what a meat raffle is. How can possibly talk for a minute on a meat raffle?
I know, but Paul challenged you.
A hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
Well, yes, I should think so.
So let's hear from you, Paul, on the meat raffle, starting now. 17 seconds, by the way.
The meat raffle is very much like the sausage lottery. You have to buy a ticket to be in it to win it. If you go to parts of the north, I'm thinking of Barnsley in Yorkshire, they often have meat. You attend market day and somebody will hold up a huge piece of beef and say, it will only cost you this amount of money to buy...
Right. So Paul was then speaking as a whistle went, seemed to be the only one who knows anything about meat raffles. And you've increased your lead, Paul, and we want you to begin the next round. Oh, mother-in-law jokes. 60 seconds, if you want it, starting now.
Mother-in-law jokes used to be very popular currency with stand-up comedians. One thinks of the marvellous Les Dawson, who made great play over the mother-in-law joke, and his defence of these mother-in-law jokes was the fact that the mother-in-law was a very strong character within society, particularly in 1930s Manchester, where he was growing up, and he said this was very much a figure of authority, and the joke was against this person, not out of sort of hatred, but out of kind of respect, because it was the mother-in-law who kept the family...
Tony challenged.
There were two out ofs quite yes, close together.
Yes. Tony, yeah. Well listened. And you've got in with 36 seconds to go on mother-in-law jokes starting now.
What's the ideal weight for a mother-in-law? 2.3 pounds, including the urn. This was a joke I heard when I was only a small lad, and heaven forfend, I would never tell such a joke myself unless under pressure in a situation like this. Very unfair against the poor mother-in-law, who had no real opportunity to defend herself, because more often than not, she didn't have a microphone, whereas a stand-up comedian did, and boy, did he exploit it. Every night out on stage, a mother-in-law joke would be hurled out to the enthusiastic...
So, Tony Hawk, speaking as a whistle wind, gained that extra point. He's moved forward, but he's still in second place. Just behind Paul Merton, but ahead of the other two. And Sheila, we'd like you to begin the next round. Thunderstorms. Tell us something about thunderstorms in just a minute, starting now.
I absolutely love thunderstorms. When I was young, my mother was terrified of them. She used to go in the cupboard under the stairs. But I think that was something to do with the Blitz. It frightened her, the banging and the flashing. I, however, stand at the window and embrace nature's anger. I let it thrill through my body. I flash at the eyes and I breathe deeply. And I love the smell of the rain when it pours into the earth.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of love.
Oh yes,
you were loving too much. Well,
I was. I got carried away.
Yeah. It was lovely.
I did.
It was very passionate.
Yes.
Very passionate
indeed. And very enjoyable.
Were you still under the stairs at that stage?
No, it was my mum that was under the stairs. Okay.
No, she was at the window.
I was at the window.
I wasn't really following, sorry.
She's not going to be under the stairs sniffing the air, is she? Yeah, she might be, I suppose.
Tony, you've got 30 seconds. Tell us something about thunderstorms starting now.
I was in France not that long ago with some chums, and there was this tremendous thunderstorm that happened, and out of the sky came the lightning. And we had a discussion about how this was formed, and none of us knew. The next day I went and asked...
Paul Chan.
Isn't the subject thunderstorms? We're talking about lightning here.
Is
lightning part of a thunderstorm?
They're all part of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? The thunder and lightning.
I suppose it is, isn't it?
Yes. So he's correct.
Yeah, he is, absolutely.
And he's got 15 seconds more to tell us more about thunderstorms starting now.
So I quizzed an elderly French fellow the next day. How does this happen? He said, nobody really knows. And that shut me up.
Sheila Challenge.
I can't believe that nobody really knows. I think that man who does the science programmes on television, whatever his name is, the dish with
Brian.
The hair.
Brian
Cox.
You said it.
I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I'm absolutely certain if I gave him a call, Brian Cox would know.
Yeah, but the point is...
Yeah, but darling, he said, this man said, I don't know.
Yes, no, he didn't. He said, nobody knows. This man said, nobody knows. Yes,
I can't be responsible for everything this man says as being accurate.
I don't even know he's French, because I don't think he's got a French accent, this
man. No, to be fair to Tony, he said, this man said, nobody knows.
It's absolutely true. Right.
Some man. Why are we quoting some ignorant bloke who knows nothing?
Yes!
This is dead true.
I wrote a book called A Piano in the Pyrenees, and I tell this very story in the book, if you don't believe me.
So repetition.
Right, you've still got 5 seconds, Tony. Another point, thunderstorms starting now.
There is electricity involved, don't know what it does, but some say it is move...
Paul Chan.
We had some say before.
Yes, some say.
He's done it again. Half a second to go.
Thunderstorms, Paul, starting now.
Thunder and lightning!
Anyway, Paul was speaking as a whistle when again the extra point. Tony got a number in the round. They're fairly close in the lead together. Tony's one behind Paul, then the other are trailing a little in third place jointly. Tony, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is The Paper Boy. Will you tell us something about the paperboy in this game starting now?
The paperboy was always somebody I looked up to when I was 6 or 7 years old. Eventually, I became one at 13. What a thrill to get given these papers to take round to people's houses and push through their door. Now, a lot of you will be thinking, he's pretty much run out of anything to say on this subject.
And you illustrated it for us. But Sheila, you have 20 seconds on the paperboy starting now.
I used to have a lovely book with cut-out figures, a girl and a boy, and lots of different clothes that with tabs on that you hung on these figures. Figures, I've said figures twice.
Four challenge, grand challenge.
You said figures four times.
So, Paul, you've got 7 seconds on the paperboy starting now.
The paperboy. I was a paperboy when I was 12 years old. I knocked on the door one Christmas looking for some boxes from the people that I'd been delivering newspapers to, and they... Oh.
Did you get a Christmas box from them?
I did, yes. I was very nervous the first year because the first time I tried it, I couldn't really explain what I was doing, and this woman looked at me very oddly and didn't know what I was talking about, and I felt really embarrassed. The following year, I went round and I was more confident this time, and I said, "Hello, I'm your weekday paper boy. Happy Christmas." She said, "Oh, hang on a minute." She came back with her purse. She said, "I'm glad it's you." She said, "We had a right idiot come round last year." She gave me threepence.
It was worth something then, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was worth something then, yeah.
You could get a Mars bar at least with it. So, Paul, the speaker's whistle went, gained that extra point, creased his lead. And, Graham, we're back with you to begin.
Yes.
The subject, ulterior motives.
Ah.
Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I am delighted to be speaking on the subject of ulterior motives. I know a lot about them. For instance, if I was to turn to Nicholas and say, "Hey, any chance of being invited to your 50th birthday party?" I would actually be thinking...
Tall challenge.
Do you have a time machine? Because it's quite a few weeks from now, isn't it, Nicholas?
I haven't put them up to this, I can assure you. So, Paul, have you got a challenge when the rules are just a minute? So, Graham was interrupted. He gets a point for that. He still has ulterior motives. And 47 seconds starting now.
It is like a thunderstorm in my head right now because I've got so many things to say of ulterior motives. I could go in any sort of direction. I really am spoiled for choice. I think the area I'll start...
I think it was a hesitation.
What, really?
You went like that.
Got to breathe.
Sheila, it was teetering on in hesitation.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally I give benefit of the doubt.
Right.
If I can redress the balance later, I give it to you. But Graham, I don't think it was enough for hesitation. So you've still got ulterior motives. 35 seconds starting now.
The relief I feel at this moment is palpable, ladies and gentlemen. A second ago, Sheila Hancock tried to rip this subject from me. But no, I've still got it firmly in my grasp. Ulterior motives. Sit back, friends. Because you're going a load full on this one. I can't begin.
Well,
at some point, he has to talk about the subject.
Deviation.
As much as I enjoyed the introduction to the subject, it was tremendous.
Also, loadful is a lovely new word, isn't it?
Yes.
Loadful. A loadful of things.
Yes.
Paul, correct challenge, another point. Ulterior motives with you. 17 seconds starting now.
Ulterior motives are often quite difficult to discern because by their very nature, they can be hidden. For example, if I was to talk to a member of the public here sitting in this magnificent theatre here in London, I...
Sheila's challenge?
Repetition of here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes,
right. Sheila, it's good, though, because it made the audience go, here.
Yeah. I'm glad you agree.
Yes. And they're playing along, which is good.
Taking notice of what we're doing, which always helps.
Everybody's dozed off at home.
Yeah.
6 seconds, Sheila. Ulterior motives starting now.
I find ulterior motives a very... It's a kind of notebook.
Yes.
It's a kind of notebook.
Yeah.
Oh, I think there was a deviation from the English language for a moment.
It is. It didn't make sense at all, did it? Yeah. Ulterior motives. Right. Tony, you've got him with 3 seconds to go. Ulterior motives starting now.
I have an ulterior motive for being here tonight. And what it is, I am...
So, Tony, the speaker's a whistle win, gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's still 2 points behind Paul Merton in the lead, and they're both A few points ahead of Sheila Hancock and Graham Norton, who's still equal in third place. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is stepping into the spotlight. 60 seconds starting now.
Stepping into the spotlight. The first time you do it, it can be quite a horrendous experience. I remember being at the Comedy Store in 1982. It was round about 2:30 in the morning on a Saturday. I stepped into the spotlight by walking onto the stage, grasping the microphone in my hand and attempting to do the jokes that I'd written down the previous few weeks. It was a nerve-wracking experience. I remember so clearly.
Tony Chan.
Two remembers.
You remembered it earlier on when you said you remembered your first experience. So, Tony, you've gone in with 39 seconds on stepping into the spotlight, starting now.
I was an understudy in a show called Pump Boys and Dinettes that was on not that far from here many years ago. And what amazing tension.
Sheila Challenge.
Hesitation?
I call that hesitation, Sheila. And certainly I give you the benefit of the doubt on that one, because I didn't give it to you on the last one. 29 seconds for you, Sheila, to tell us something about stepping into the spotlight, starting now.
One kind of theatrical spotlight is called a follow spot. And I was in Annie at the Victoria Palace, as was my competitor.
I should have got that.
Yes, you should have done.
Tony, you challenge first.
Yes, well, another deviation from another the...
I couldn't think of a word to name Graham.
That handy thing, Graham, is kind of what my mother thought people might use.
19 seconds, Tony, stepping into the spotlight, starting now.
So many young people today dream of stepping into the spotlight, and the programmes on the television Saturday evening are coaxing them into the world of show business, and they think this will be full of happiness and joy. Little do they know how miserable we all are, as we bitch about each other in the...
Paul Challenge.
I'm not remotely miserable.
No.
I think it's deviation. I don't think you ever say everybody in show business is miserable.
We're not miserable.
Some of us are pathetic, but not miserable.
And why are we all here?
Exactly.
Trying to generate
fun
and
humour. We're desperately seeking love, admit it. Admit it, Nicholas.
Yeah, but also we want to make them laugh. And we couldn't, if we were miserable, we couldn't
only
make them laugh.
Only because there's not enough love in our lives. Or is it just me?
Yes.
It's just
yes.
You.
But Paul got in first with 1 second to go. A second ago, Paul, stepping into the spotlight, starting now.
Who put that there?
So it's neck and neck between Paul Merton and Tony Hawkshare. They keep catching each other up and then overtaking each other. Paul's now slightly in the lead ahead of Tony. The others are equal in third place. And Sheila, we're back with you to begin. Matching socks. Matching socks. Starting now.
I have a terrible problem with socks. Whenever I do the washing, I always lose one or even three. What happens to them? They disappear into the washing machine. Maybe it is eating them, and at the bottom I would find lots of chewed things on the... What's it? Socks is on the... No, it isn't.
You can say it.
Yes, it is.
Matching socks.
Damn.
You could have used the word socks.
I could have used the word
yes,
socks, yes.
But who challenged first? Paul. Right, Paul.
It was a hesitation.
Yes, it was indeed, right. Matching socks. Tell us something about that, Paul. 37 seconds starting now.
It may be aliens from other planets trying to communicate with us. If they take away our socks, we might think perhaps we should look up to the skies. There may be a magic beam of light.
Sheila Challenge.
Quite a lot of maze.
Yes.
There may be this, maybe that.
So listen, well, Sheila, you've got him with 29 seconds on matching socks. Starting now.
I actually keep a drawer for the odd socks and hope that one day I'll be able to match them. In fact, I have started a new fashion of wearing odd socks.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of odd.
Yes,
indeed. You made odd before, yes.
Yes.
So, Tony, you've got it with 18 seconds on matching socks, starting now.
I like to take socks and match them with anything that's nearby. It's a habit of mine, and it's because I'm so miserable in show business that I do. Otherwise, I would be playing tennis or doing something jolly, but no... Matching socks is what I do. Holding them up to the light, seeing if...
So, I just heard we're going into the final round. And as we do, I have to tell you, Paul Merton's just in the lead, one ahead of Tony Hawks, and the other two are trailing a little in third and fourth place. The points aren't important because their contributions is what is important. It's your turn to begin, Tony, and the subject is second best. 60 seconds, if possible, starting now.
When I was at school many years ago now, there was a teacher who was trying to encourage me. Tony, he said, never settle for second best. And my life has been miserable since then. Because I've never made it to the top in show business. And his words are echoing in my ears as I speak. Bitterness pouring forth. Venomous. Oh, I can't.
So, Paul, challenge first. Paul.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. 33 seconds. Second best with you, Paul, starting now.
Second best. The Academy Awards used to say, and the winner is. But now, these days, and actually, they used to say that. No, forget it. That was historically inaccurate.
Yes.
So, deviation from the tradition of carrying on.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I got it completely wrong.
Tony, 27 seconds. Second best, starting now.
If you are second best, this means that you are a lot better than all the people who are below you. I'm not going to say anything further.
Graham, you challenge first.
I think this is the only other time I got in as well, was when Tony just stopped. So I'm going with hesitation.
You've gone with the right one.
Yes.
And you've got 17 seconds. You tell us something about second best, starting now.
Second best is something they say to sensitive children instead of saying big fat loser. They didn't win. That's the point. Nobody wants to be second best. It is a thing to be avoided. However, most creatures on planet Earth would like... Oh!
So, as I said, that was to be the last round. Oh, a very, very fair situation. Graham Norton and Sheena Hancock finished equal in third place. But they didn't have as many points as Tony Hawkes, who was in second place, but he was only 1 point behind Paul Merton, who is therefore the leader this week and our winner. Congratulations to Paul. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. And it just means me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes, Sheena Hancock and Graham Norton. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle delightfully when the 60 seconds elapsed. And we are grateful to our producer, Talusha Gilani, and we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre who've cheered us on our way. So from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team up here, goodbye, and tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yeah.